At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.
What's going on, everybody? Welcome into episode number 142 of the Ridge Hunter Outdoors Podcast. Happy November to everybody out there. This is our favorite time of year. We're excited to be able to be out in a tree in November. Even though it's been a little bit slow for us to start, we're looking forward to this somewhat of a cold front coming up at the end of this week. I think it should be good. But now is the time of year anyway where you got to be out in the stand. So if you got an opportunity to be out there, go get in the stand, get in a blind. You just never know what's going to happen right now. If you get the right doe come by, you might be in it. And you might catch a buck cruising at any time, too, even if it's 75 degrees and windy like it has been. You still got to be out there after them. And that's what Nate and Blake have been doing. That's what they're getting ready to do. Coming up, we got to talk to them about that this week. They kind of gave an update on what they've had going on. It's been a while since we've had them in here. So talked a little bit about what they've been seeing, what they haven't been seeing, and what they expect coming up. They had a pretty good hunt this morning. At least the early part of it was decent. And then they're going back out today after this rain gets out of here. We've all had pretty slow hunts through this last couple weeks, really. It's just been tough with the weather, seeing mature bucks. But like I said earlier, now's the time of year where they're going to start moving no matter what. So we're excited about it. Hopefully you guys are too. I appreciate you guys tuning in every week. I appreciate you tuning in to Fall Pursuit as well. We've been really pleased with everybody that's been watching the numbers that's been doing. Whether you're watching on Carbon TV or YouTube, either way, we thank you for that. And make sure you stay tuned for tomorrow's episode. And then maybe next Tuesday, we'll bring you some bucks on the ground. That's the plan anyway. I think this cold front coming up at the end of this week could be pretty good. So that's what we got for this week. Talking to Nate and Blake about kind of the season so far and then what's coming up. So let's get into it. This is the Ridge Hunter Outdoors Podcast. The hunt this morning. That's where we got to start. Yeah. We're actually recording this the day it comes out, too. So.
Yeah. Live action.
November 4th. Yes, this is as close to live podcasting as you can get.
It's a wet one. It was a wet one.
In a bad way?
Yes, not kind of. Okay. Gosh, dude. Yeah, well, it started off a crapshoot because it's absolutely pouring down rain at home. Mm-hmm. Then about halfway out there, I'm like, I forgot my binoculars and rangefinder. And I looked at Nate, I'm like,
you can't drop them if you don't have them.
That is true.
And before halfway out there, he's like, I forgot the other chair for this blind. Yeah. Guess who that affected?
Not me. Not him. Oh, yeah, so I just was like, hey, take my bow and go to the blind. So it's only like 200 yards.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Easy walk. So I hustled back to my truck, got my binoculars, which had my rangefinder in it, mm-hmm. and the harness, skedaddled back out there. Nate's in there. He's like, did you leave tree stumps in the plot? I'm like, yeah, why? He's like, okay, because there's dots out there. And I thought they were deer.
Uh-huh. I could see shapes out there, dark shapes out there. Like trying so hard to look in the dark, uh-huh. you know, and I'm like, oh my gosh, they're like 50 yards away.
Yeah.
And I got in this thing and they didn't run. And I was like, there's no way it's deer, but holy cow, what if it is deer? Mm-hmm.
You know? Hey, that could happen if it's dark still.
He's got so many bucks up there. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, I know he's going to be here in like 2 minutes, but mm-hmm. anyway, that ended up being okay. He's like, yeah, I left them stumps.
Yeah, but there was deer in that hayfield that I seen. I could see mm-hmm. just shadows out there. But then I got in. It wouldn't have been. We got settled in like no time. Just sat down, basically.
You sat down.
Yeah.
You didn't sit in the floor.
Indian style. So I did get down in the floor.
Not even a minute after you sat down.
And then Blake, he's like scanning the field with his binoculars, and he goes, "There is a big buck out here." And I'm like, no, there's not.
Granted, but this is not the first time I told him that there's a big... there's been many times I told him there's a big buck, and he's never believed me.
Uh-huh.
I'm sitting there in the floor. I was like, just leave me alone. Yeah. Let me sit here for a minute. But yeah, he's like, no, for real. And then, like, so I start getting up, and he's watching him. He's like, he's looking this way. And he said he's not that far, you know.
115 yards.
Yeah.
So like he had to be right there because I don't think we had been in the blind.
No.
For 3 minutes.
No.
You know
that rain just is just a solid rain and it just hit us.
Mm-hmm.
And so like I'm looking as hard as I can. I was like, yeah, there's a shape out there. But of course, he could see better through those binoculars.
Mm-hmm.
And so then, like, I got stood up and kind of up to the window, and he gave me the binoculars. So I was like, there's nothing wrong with that guy.
Yeah. Which one was it? You know?
I think we came to the conclusion. There's a he walked by a camera once he left. But I'm going to pull that card tonight for sure. I
could find out which one.
Yeah. But I think it's he's got big brows because I could see, we could see big brows, and we can make out his shape. He had a big frame. Yeah. Big frame. But I think it's one of the May points.
You think it's one of the eights?
It's not the big one. And it's not the curly one. It's the other one. It's I thought he was three this whole time, so I wasn't going to shoot him.
Mm-hmm.
But
looked pretty good at 100 yards.
Yeah.
There's what? There's 4 8 points right in there that would be 130 to 150, right? The big one, the curly tine.
The big one's like 160.
Mm-hmm.
The curly's right pushing high 40s. Just got to scratch 150.
The big 10.
The big 10's pushing 70s.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The 7 points, 130-inch 7 point.
Mm-hmm.
Then there's that guy that we seen this morning.
Mm-hmm.
And then he'd break 140, I think, because his brows are just...
They're big.
Six inch brow tines.
Yeah.
And then the 3-year-old 8 point that's pretty framey.
Yeah, then there's that big browed 9-pointer.
Mm-hmm. There's a bunch of bucks right there.
Mm-hmm. And I'm on the fringe of every single one of them.
Mm-hmm.
You don't it's think any of them are living like... Well, you think that 7-pointer's living across the road, right?
I know where he's staying. He lives... to the west.
He's lived there for a couple decades now.
Yeah.
Yeah. You think you're just kind of on the edge of all of them.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But yeah, we've seen that one, and I showed him videos on truck. That camera he walked by, I pulled the card Saturday. I can't remember.
Mm-hmm.
But I thought he was three, but then we start looking at another one that is for sure three, and his body is bigger, so he might be four. And would make sense because he is there a lot.
Yeah.
Like, he's in that food plot. He hits this opening, and he hits that camera a lot.
What time was it this morning when you saw him?
First light.
I mean, of course, it's cloudy and raining. But yeah.
He was out there for a while.
Yeah. And then there was a doe popped out, and he went with her.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, all the deer we saw were the first 30 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Then a lone turkey and a skunk.
See, the radars were showing it's going to quit, like, it's going to stop raining, like, within, like, 30 minutes. And that 30 minutes just kept on getting pushed back and back and back, and now it's, like, 2 o'clock.
Right. Mm-hmm. Well, maybe it'll hold up. They'll be moving this afternoon, but...
I am...
We're speeding home.
I'm still warm.
I'm unbelievably confident that they're going to move this afternoon.
Yeah.
Like, this...
This nasty rain.
Yeah. Like, every time that I've ever had a chance to hunt after something like this... It's been wild.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it's the right time of year, too. Mm-hmm.
Correct.
And even, well, if that one was there that close to daylight, I mean, he's either not too far away or he's starting to feel a little better about getting farther from home, you know?
Well, in that gap, he had a doe. He pushed a doe through that gap the first.
Mm-hmm.
And he had her again through that gap yesterday morning. Mm-hmm. Yeah, yesterday morning, like middle of the night. So he should be free. If that 3-day rule holds true.
Right. Yeah, that's... Yeah. Sometimes I think they will go all that 3 days, and then other times I think they'll just... Of course, if he's been with her on camera, but... Like, there's times they'll just run up and breed her and leave, too.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but that's going to happen more towards the middle of the month. Mm-hmm. Not right now.
Just go.
If there's one in heat right now, and they don't just, you know, get in there and hit it right away and leave, mm-hmm. they're going to be with her for a while. You know?
Hit it and quit.
Because she's the only... One of the only ones that's ready, probably.
Yeah, up there, at this point. I've seen, I think, 4 fawns by themselves, 4 different fawns by themselves. So, well, there's so many does up there, so it's not surprising why there's so many fawns by themselves already.
Right. Mm-hmm. The last 4 does I've seen at the North Farm have all been by themselves, which is good,
mm-hmm.
but it'd be nice if there was something behind them now.
See, I'm not even getting that. I'm just getting the fawns. They already beat me to them.
Yeah, I haven't I don't know if I've seen fawns by themselves, but I've seen does by themselves. So there's fawns by themselves somewhere. But yeah, the last four does we've seen up there have all been by themselves, and they've all been acting goofy. Mm-hmm. And like the one Dad didn't shoot last week, she was like, she got to the corner of the field and then she just stared back into the woods. Like her ears went up and she just stared back into the woods for 30 seconds to a minute. And then just all of a sudden she took off trotting across the field. And I was like, oh, here we go. And then nothing ever came out. And then she worked off to the north, and that's when that eight pointer came out with in that spike. So I don't know. She was, that eight was, he wasn't behind her obviously, but I think he must have been across the road, and he either saw her, he had to have seen her because the wind was blowing the wrong way, and then he came across there and went right where she went. So he was tracking her. He wasn't like hot on her, but he was definitely looking for her. Mm-hmm. But he was also 3 year old too, so
yeah,
doesn't mean she was in. If you're like most hunters out there, at some point, you've dreamed of having a piece of hunting ground to call your own. Maybe you finally decided to make those dreams a reality. If so, you need to talk to our guy, Rodney Hawkins. Rodney is a land specialist with Midwest Farm and Land. If you haven't heard of them, they aren't your average real estate company. While they do deal in traditional residential and commercial real estate, their specialty is recreational and farm ground. With agents like Rodney serving across the state of Illinois, no matter what you're looking for, they can find it. Even if you want to sell what you already have to upgrade, downgrade, reinvest, whatever, they've got you covered. For more information, you can contact Rodney at 618-925-3153, and he'll get you taken care of. On top of what he does for MFL, Rodney also has his own company called RG Outdoors. They currently carry hard and soft-sided blinds, blind chairs, tree stands, and cameras from Radix Hunting, Tacticam trail cameras, Fission e-bikes, and he's adding new stuff all the time. I've personally used all of these products, and I'm beyond happy with every one of them. The Fission e-bike is a game changer, and you will not find a better one for the price. If you're interested in anything RG Outdoors has to offer, you can send them a message to their Facebook page, RG Outdoors, email them at rgoutdoors@yahoo.com, or again, just call Rodney directly at 618-925-3153. You see anything else interesting today?
Mm-mm.
Just the turkey and the skunk.
Just the cheeseburgers we had at Julian's.
Yeah.
Yep. That was good.
Mm-hmm.
The skunk was, and the turkey, I think they were both confused about what they were doing today.
Oh, yeah?
The skunk, he'd run west for a while, then he'd stop and he'd just run back east. And he stood still out there for a while, and this is just all in the rain.
Mm-hmm.
Like, man, you're an idiot.
Man, I tell you what, last night, it was just, all three of us didn't see much.
Nope.
My cameras were all dead. I don't know about your guys'. Yep.
Yeah, they were dead.
Dusty's,
all through the night.
Dusty's cameras were pretty dead.
There were some that surprises some deer, me with that compound.
Yeah.
Now, I had four different bucks on their feet last night at home.
After dark?
Yeah.
Yeah.
The big.
I mean, like, daylight, though. There was just nothing happening.
No. Yeah. No, last night, the big nine, he hit the north plot. There was some other new trash buck. Every single buck that comes in there is now trash.
Mm-hmm.
There's this ugly thing. He's like, you might as well call him like a 7.5 pointer. I don't know. But he's got great big brows, which is like uncharacteristic for
maybe
the
he'll
region.
Pass those down.
That's the only thing I would be okay with him passing down. Cause he's like just an older version of the big ugly 7-pointer.
Uh-huh.
That has been everywhere this year on me.
Yeah.
I mean, he's trash. But he hit two of the cell cams last night. Had his mouth hanging wide open. You can tell he'd been running, you know. So, like, he's been who knows where all. Don't even know where he came from either. Then a couple of the other 3-year-olds were out running around. But, yeah, after dark, I had a bunch of stuff going on.
Yeah. Well, it's that time of year.
Yep.
I had that third main beam buck on camera last night again.
Really?
I think he might be two. Like, he's no older than two.
Mm-hmm.
He's a really puny-looking deer. Like, healthy, but, like, he doesn't look very big at all. But other than, I mean, even at the shop, we had a couple deer in yesterday evening, but not many. One really good buck that I showed you guys that got killed last night. But, so you're talking about, if they're not moving the daylight right now, they're going to be moving at night because they're still going to breed. They're still going to rut.
Oh,
they're still going to look for does. It's just if it's this kind of crappy weather, they're not going to do it in the daytime.
Yeah.
Unless it quits, right, hopefully soon.
Right. Like this rain, even though it's still a little warm, as hard as it's been raining, they're going to want to get up and move after it quits.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. How many? I guess we just saw deer in two fields.
Yeah.
Since we left Flora.
Yeah. Between here and there. Yeah. Yeah, it's the whole month of October was like that, too. I mean, obviously, Dusty and Dawson killed a few deer, but for us in general, you didn't hunt, but we didn't have the we didn't have the weather, in my opinion. We had a couple decent cold fronts.
If this rain would
At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.
In a month ago, I'd be so happy.
Right. But we didn't have... There wasn't really anything like this where it was like, okay, after this quits, it's going to be good no matter what. And there wasn't any, there was a couple of decent cold fronts, but I think you said almost call them a cool front, not even a cold front, because it never got down. We had maybe one frost.
Yeah, it frosted maybe, like 3 days in a row, but
early. Very light.
Yeah, very, very, light. Very not heavy frost at all.
Was that like the 11th, 12th, 13th, somewhere in there maybe?
No, there's in the month. That 20th.
Was that that one?
Yeah.
Either way, we didn't have much for good weather, and I think that was, unlike maybe some years past, we had some pretty good cold fronts, I felt like, in October last year. But this year, just didn't have the weather a lot of times to get the mature bucks on their feet in the daylight, it didn't seem like.
Mm-hmm.
And my cameras would say that, too. And, I don't know, you didn't have a ton of daylight pictures in October.
The 7-point, but he was in the mornings.
Yeah.
Heading back to bed.
Mm-hmm. So, it was tough. October. You didn't miss much.
Yep.
At least on my side of things.
Yeah.
From what I saw and from everybody else. I think I saw a mature buck with Dusty one time. And other than that, I don't think I saw a mature buck in October, which is a lot like last year for me. But I mean, I saw some 3-year-olds here and there.
The 6th and the 7th were good for me.
Yeah.
I'd seen that curly-tined 8-pointer the 6th.
You did have that 10-pointer, that tight rack 10-pointer, I guess, in daylight once.
Yeah, that was...
Around one of those.
The 5th or the 4th.
I don't remember.
Somewhere in there.
Yeah. Anyway, it's a tough month, though. We talk about a lot of times if you have that one buck you want to kill, that last week of October that we just got through can be the best time to do it, but...
Mm-hmm. Not when it's 75 to 80 degrees.
Yeah, and it's just stale. It never changes.
Dry. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Very dry.
October and windy. Dry really windy.
Yeah, the wind's really stuck. It's supposed to be windy this afternoon, too, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. The last, as many years as I can remember that I've been keeping an eye on it, if we ever had a cold push from, like, October 24th to the 29th, right in there somewhere, my daylight activity of good bucks on camera was just, I mean, wild, you know. For 2 or 3 days, the day of the cold front and the next two. I mean, just very noticeable.
Mm-hmm.
These things are on their feet. They're out checking everything out. We never got anything like that this year.
Mm-mm. No.
Nothing even close.
Nope. There was 2 years ago, we got really good cold front, like November 1st, and it didn't help me a bit. My cameras or nothing was good, even with that. But, like, I don't know. I think that window, what you're talking about, 24th, 29th to even Halloween, if we get a cold front there, I think it's better than if we get a cold front like the 1st through the 3rd, 1st through the 4th of November.
Because the does aren't there, and the bucks know that's going to happen, so they're going to be up and moving looking for that one.
Yep.
Yeah.
And then I feel like, see, a lot of those guys that hunt up in Iowa talk about like 5th through the 8th or whatever being the best days.
Mm-hmm.
I really think we're a little bit off of that.
Mm-hmm.
I know you've had a lot of luck on the 5th. I've always seen on cameras and in person more bucks on the back end of that, like maybe start at the 7th and shoot up through the 11th. Like Veterans Day, to me, always kind of is in the middle of the best days, I think.
7th, I've killed 2 on the 7th.
If you guys are in the food plotting game, you need to know about Grandpa Ray Outdoors. They specialize in providing the best nutrition for whitetail deer on your property, starting with the soil. They've got a full line of high-quality food plot seed, plant foods, and minerals. Whatever food plot blend you're looking for, they have it. Whether that be fall or spring blends, corner beans, switchgrass, throw-and-grow blends, shade-tolerant mixes, they have it all. They don't just throw different types of generic seed in a bag, though. They carefully select the different strains of specific plants that will not only work well together in their blend, but also in numerous different conditions. All their options have high germination rates, and when you buy a bag of their seed, that's what you're getting. Seed. No fluff, no filler, just the best available seeds that are going to hit the ground and grow. They aren't just about selling their products, though. They'll answer any questions you have about what blends would be best for your specific property. That way you can achieve the best results possible. We've used their seed blends on client properties and, of course, our own for years now, and the results have always been as good, if not better, than advertised. You can go check them out at GrandpaRayOutdoors.com and use the discount code RHOPODCAST, that's all lowercase, no space, to get 5% off your order.
In my opinion, the best days are still coming up here into this week, into next week.
Yep, with more hot weather.
Yeah, it's going to be hot. Fortunately, the end of this week is going to be cooler.
Mid-60s, low-60s is the high, 40s at night.
Yeah, so, again, it's kind of relative, but it's only like a 10-degree difference. I'd rather it be like 20, you know.
Cause it's 20 at night, 50 at high.
Well, I mean, 20-degree difference would even be better if it was like 50s for the highs.
Yeah, that'd be great.
Because it's supposed to be like 73, 74 tomorrow, and then Wednesday I think they're giving 65, 66, something like that. So it's not even that big of a drop. It's just, but the mornings maybe, if we're going to see a lot of daylight activity, it'll be in the mornings towards the end of this week with this cold front, is what I would expect. But we'll see. You haven't been on in a while, and you just, this episode, if I can find the dang hunt, because I wasn't on those cards either, so I'm going to have to look. If I deleted it, it will still be on my computer because it would be in the trash can on there. But anyway, you just had your first hunt of the year.
Saturday night with you.
Yeah. And so the people haven't heard from you in a while. I know we talked a little bit. I don't remember the last time you were on.
I don't either.
I think when we did the
preseason kind of deal. So, you've not had really anything new move in, have you, since then?
Several trash bucks.
Well, nothing. Nothing really nice.
There is, I finally got pictures of a good-looking buck at another spot.
Oh, yeah, I forgot about him.
And we'll just, yeah.
I had to think about that for a second.
Yep. So you got one shooter to go after.
Yeah.
He is potentially a deer you saw last year.
I think it was probably the one.
His frame looks similar.
Yeah. I think it's probably the one that we saw last year, that me and Blake saw last year.
The cruising?
Yeah. I think it'd be him.
Not the one with splits?
I think that, yeah.
You think it's the one with the splits?
Mm-hmm. I think it's him.
He got rid of him. What a loser.
Yeah. he's a nice looking deer.
Yeah. He's 50. He's pretty easy.
I think he'd be 150. Yeah. He's a good looking buck. I was trying to decide. Remember that pretty 8-pointer that we saw? I mean, just a pretty 8-pointer over there.
You got video of him.
Then them dogs chased him out of there.
That's what we need to get rid of.
Yeah. I was trying to think if I thought that this deer here could be him, and I just don't think it would be.
That deer was kind of taller, wasn't he? Or not?
He was...
I don't remember. We got the video somewhere.
He was just like, he's about 17 inches wide, and he probably had 7 or 8 inch G2s.
120 inch 8-pointer.
Yeah. I mean, he's just a pretty young 8.
Yeah.
We saw him about all the time we went over there. I don't think this could be him.
I think this deer's older than that.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think it's that 3-year-old that we seen last year.
And he could have maybe been 4 this year. If this deer's 4, I feel like he is a tank. I think he could be older than that.
I thought that deer last year was 4. I thought you thought he was 4.
I think he could have been. I think there's a good chance. Because the pictures that I got of this thing this year, I mean, he's standing there and he looks like me standing there.
He got a big old head on him.
He's a large individual.
Yeah.
But yeah, I'd be tickled with him.
Yeah, for sure.
I would be too.
Mm-hmm. You owe
him need to go
one.
Kill him.
I.
That's what I was thinking. He owes you one.
Oh, I'm waiting till I have something bigger.
Okay.
Hey, remember that one time at band camp?
Yeah. You remember the time you killed that 125-inch deer on me?
Interest rate.
With interest. With interest, you owe me that booner. Speaking of that, at least potential for it, I got to thinking that one that we filmed briefly that you had pictures of that showed up last year on you that kind of reminds you of the Funky Eight.
Mm-hmm.
He showed up late. Right,
10th, 14th, somewhere in there before, just before gun season.
Yeah,
he came.
So there's
over.
Still hope he might be around.
Yeah.
Now whether he was two or three last year.
Yeah, I used three.
He was three.
Yeah. Me and Blake were talking earlier today. I still have, I don't know, at least 200 acres, maybe 300 acres of corn within a mile of me.
Yeah.
On the west. And I would expect when that gets shelled for things to mix up just a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
There's not much between me and all that corn. I mean, some of that corn is only 3/8 of a mile from my woods.
Mm-hmm. Even if they're not staying there, it's likely they're going there to feed.
Mm-hmm. I think that's going to change some things. Now, they have also knifed in manure there on the bean field between me and them. When they knife it in, it is much better
than when they throw it on top.
When they fling it on top.
Yeah.
Neither is
ideal.
But yeah, I expect them to stay in my food plots more now that that's been, you know, that they've knifed that in out there on that field.
Yeah.
But yeah, them cornfields for sure be places for them to feed. And they're staying out there too.
And if that corn's gone, you've got corn, right?
I got 6 acres.
You guys went. Is that where you went? You went to the north plot?
Set up there last
you and Kaylee
night.
Did? Did it look pretty good?
It's okay. So that one, that hurricane blew a bunch of it down.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there's open spots, and then there's spots where it's fine.
Yeah.
But that one spike we saw last night, he just went out there and he started running circles in that corn.
Maybe there was a doe out there he was looking for.
Like, he came running out of the north woods. He came shooting down the path that I keep, you know, coming out right there.
Mm-hmm.
And he started making laps out there in that corn. And I kind of expected him to do that.
Right.
You know.
Is that corn closes in that plot, don't it?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. How many acres? There's 2 acres of corn there?
Mm-hmm. Two and a quarter acres of corn and half an acre of green.
And then by the lone tree is another.
4 acres of corn and a half an acre of green there.
And you get your better pictures have been there?
I get that camera. I have no idea what the deal is, but I get more pictures on that camera than any other camera, by far.
So I wonder if it's not that they see that tree out there by itself, and it is an oak tree.
That's the hub. Yeah, there's two or three.
It's like a central point for them to get across from one place to the other.
Yeah.
You know?
And I gave them all the food they could ever want right there now.
Yeah. That should be really good late season.
I would like to think so. They go in there. I mean, does just camp under that tree and eat acorns. Like, that's all they've done for the past month. They just, every night, they invade, and they stand in front of that camera, and they eat acorns.
Mm-hmm.
And they look at the camera.
Yeah. Yep. That's, well, that plot there at the cabin, that's what we've been getting, is just does every night. 6-7 does in both of those plots every night.
At least they're there.
Yeah, here in the next few days, I expect something else to show up. That that six-pointer with the flyer, he's kind of a cool deer, but like if it got down to December, I'd probably shoot him.
Yeah.
He's at least 4.
Yeah.
I got pictures of him last year. I got a shed off of one side from the neighbors, 2 properties over to where we were looking for my buck.
Mm-hmm.
I got his shed from there, and I don't think he's ever going to be much bigger than he is now.
If you got a 4-year-old six-pointer,
wham! Yeah.
I don't know. I was also talking to Blake. Like, I never remember having this many like trashy bucks. Like, you know,
you need to shoot some of them, probably.
Yeah, like
like in all reality, if you burned one tag, killing one of those, who knows? You
might. And your wife has a tag.
Yeah.
Yep.
Wham.
Yep.
If you could kill one or two of those out of there, it's going to just open up for something else to move in.
Yeah.
It'll create a vacuum.
Yeah.
Something's going to fill it.
Yeah.
You would think.
I don't need any vacuums because it already sucks.
Okay, well, there's that.
But no, like, there's just a there is an abundance of just like, you know, none of these things have very mm-hmm. many tines like at all. And I never remember that. Like, yeah. What is the deal?
It's also hard to burn a tag on something like that when you have 150-inch 10-pointer in daylight, mm-hmm. and you've also got that 9-pointer yeah. that you might want to shoot, yeah. you know, and who knows what else might show up.
Yeah.
I feel your pain. Yeah. I've never had this kind of pain before.
So,
yeah.
Like, I assume that you're having similar feelings as I did in 21, because there was 4 bucks that I would shoot there at home, and they were all 150 or bigger. 3 of them were 150 and bigger. A fatty was a high teens mm-hmm. 8-pointer as a 5-year-old. but anyway, yeah, like you got 4 mature bucks that you would be happy to put your tag on.
5.
Mm-hmm. And like, what do you know?
And that's not counting
the ones that haven't shown up yet.
And that's not counting the one that fat thing behind mom and dad's
mm-hmm.
that needs to die.
Yeah, this is just in one little area.
And I probably won't kill one because that's just my luck.
Yeah, I have that trouble too. Our partners at Flambeau Outdoors have some of the best solutions in the industry.
This is the story of the one. As a custodial supervisor at a high school, he knows that during cold and flu season, germs spread fast. It's why he partners with Grainger to stay fully stocked on the products and supplies he needs, from tissues to disinfectants to floor scrubbers. Also, that he can help students, staff, and teachers stay healthy and focused. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Industry for your decoy and storage needs. They're focused on innovation that matters, and they build their products to last. They're probably most known for their whitetail, waterfowl, and turkey decoys, and that's for good reason. They've got a lot of quality options at great price points in each category. The Boss Buck is a personal favorite of mine in their whitetail line, and I've been throwing their Stormfront mallards in front of duck blinds for years now. Don't sleep on their storage solutions either, though. Whether it's fishing tackle, firearms, ammo, or archery equipment, they've got you covered. They just stepped up their archery storage game, too, with the new Formula Bow Case. It might just be the best bow case on the market. We've been using ours for several months now, and I'm continually impressed with the ease of use and security they provide. Make the most of your time outdoors with Flambeau. Realism that gets results. So I was wondering what you were talking about your deer not having any tines. They're like 3 and 4 year olds.
Yeah.
It'd be interesting to go back and see what the, like when they were fawns and stuff, mm-hmm. what our weather patterns were and how the acorn crops were and stuff like that. Because mm-hmm. they say that. Like bumper acorn crop years, like those button bucks that year, not that they're automatically going to be bigger, but they definitely have a better start
because
mm-hmm. they have that way more available nutrition, protein, stuff like that. So
yeah,
guy could go back and look at that.
Mm-hmm. I bet he doesn't though.
Nah.
Well, I'm just saying it'd be interesting.
I'm just going to sit here and think and wonder and complain
and wish you didn't have those deer around.
Yeah.
Speaking of thinking and wondering and complaining, tomorrow, big day outside of hunting.
Oh my, yeah.
We're not going to get political because I try not to get political on here. So I'm not going to say, like, whoever you're going to vote for, go out and vote. That way you can complain. At least, if nothing else, you're voting for the right to complain, in my opinion.
Yep.
But there's a lot more, especially for hunters, and especially when you're talking about your local elections and your state elections, there's a lot more on the ballot than just a candidate.
Mm-hmm.
Do a little bit of research and find out, because there's a lot of stuff going on. Well, we've talked about it a bunch of times, that House bill that almost got through Illinois about the fur bearer contest and stuff mm-hmm. like that. But there's little things like that. The trail camera laws, there's like you go out west, things about the predators and them trying to take away hunting rights for different species and stuff. And then the wolves in Colorado, things like that. That's all on the ballot.
Mm-hmm.
Like those, unfortunately, politicians make those decisions and not biologists and people that actually should.
Yeah.
So if you don't go vote, you're doing yourself a disservice as a hunter. And there's still a huge number of hunters that aren't even registered to vote, and ones that are that don't vote. So, like, again, whoever you're going to go vote for, make the decision based on what you think is going to be best, but just go vote.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's something that a lot of people don't have the right or the luxury to do in a lot of other countries.
Mm-hmm. And not because your union hall tells you to do.
Right, right. There's a lot of places in the world where people don't get the things that we get, and it starts with our ability to go vote for what we want and yeah. who we want to represent us. So don't take it lightly. Go do it.
Yeah.
Don't just Don't be one of those people that say, oh, my vote don't matter anyway. Locally, it definitely does.
It don't matter if you don't use it.
That's absolutely right.
Mm-hmm.
It's just like that two-year-old buck. If you shoot him as a four corn, he's definitely not going to ever be any bigger.
Correct.
If you don't vote, it's definitely not going to matter.
Yep.
So go out there and do it. And especially, like, even if you feel like you're in a state, like, I don't know, Illinois, where if you vote for a certain party, it doesn't matter because maybe it's so rigged in Chicago that it would never change anything anyway. But your local elections in general are going to affect you more anyway.
Yeah.
I mean, if you're villages and townships and state and your representatives and stuff like that are going to make a lot more difference in your day-to-day life than a national election will.
Yeah. But
not that that's not as important, because it certainly is as important as well. But even if you think it doesn't make a difference for who you vote for president, go out there and vote for your legislators that represent you, because it could make a difference in not only your everyday life, but in your hunting too. And if you'd like hunting as much as we do, that's something you want to, if you can have any control over it all, you want to go exercise that. So,
yep.
That was my little voting spiel for the day.
The only thing that will possibly keep me from the poll booth would be a 200-inch deer standing underneath me.
Mm-hmm.
I'm hoping you shoot it and we'd have to take pictures and go vote.
Uh-huh. We'll take him to the polling place.
Polls are open all day, Nate, even after dark, I think.
Correct. Yeah. Yeah. It's like
16. Are you hunting after dark?
No, no. I hear that people get in trouble for that.
That's what they say. Oh, speaking of that, CJ Alexander. Did you see all that stuff?
Hammered.
Yeah, we haven't really talked about that.
Was that the Ohio
that.
Thing?
Yeah.
Okay. Yep.
We haven't really talked about
pled
that.
Pled guilty to 14 or 11 accounts.
A bunch.
Yeah, it was a lot.
Yikes.
They had text messages and everything, and it's...
Yeah.
Yeah.
Interesting. And this all happened last year, correct?
Yeah. It's that shot last October.
Yeah.
Yep.
And it's like this, the fines are not that expensive.
Right.
Like, they didn't really slap him around that hard at all.
Wasn't that deer, didn't he live on the state's attorney's ground? There
was rumors about that.
There was a lot of stuff in there. All I saw was he pled guilty to however many charges it was, and they had a bunch of text messages where he was texting his fiance or girlfriend or wife or something about how
this is gonna pay for a house.
Yeah, this deer could buy them a house, and he was worried about getting in and out of there without getting caught and all kinds of stuff. So
wow,
pretty awesome.
He says I won't sell it for like $200,000 or something like that. Something like then he sold it for $30,000.
Yeah,
wow.
And now he's not gonna see a dime of that.
Darn the luck.
Or if he already has, he's gonna give it back. Yeah, good for him too. I think that's and then to go around and doing all the publicity stuff and acting like you're some big holier-than-thou great white hunter.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Claiming he killed it right.
Which, to me, says a lot more about the character of the guy than it does anything. Because how are you going to... It's one thing to go poach a deer. That's bad enough. But I know a lot of people that go poach deer. I don't know a lot of people that go poach deer. I've heard of a lot of people that go poach deer, but they don't go and tell everybody about it and act like they killed them. They don't go do interviews and tell everybody how great a hunter they are because they killed him. I think at the very least, they're smart enough to know that.
To lay low, maybe?
Exactly. And not to go act like something they're not. Now, I know the opposite of that, too. On a much more local level, they're not doing like national interviews because they're not killing whatever state world record bucks, whatever that was supposed to be. But they'll go poach him and tell everybody they didn't, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So there's that, too. But it says a lot about the character of the guy to me. And I don't know him from Adam, and I didn't listen to any of the podcasts he did, but anybody that could go do something like that
and feel good about it
illegally and then go brag about it like you didn't, like, there's something wrong with you.
Mm-hmm. Do you ever watch the Prince of Poachers things?
You guys were telling me about him.
At least that guy admitted what he was doing was wrong, but he still did it.
That's,
yeah.
The thing about what the Alexander guy did, too, was it makes it worse for... Now
it looks bad on everyone else.
Yeah, and it's not only, and it was kind of this way before, but anybody that kills a 200-inch deer is automatically, somebody thinks they poached it.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
And it's guys like that, not just
it's
him.
The reason.
Yes, guys like that are why people think that, because they go shoot these giant deer illegally, and then they parade them out in front of everybody like they're some big hero.
Mm-hmm.
And then, come to find out, he was trespassing and wasn't supposed to be there, and killed it illegally, And then now everybody, if you kill a 200-inch deer, everybody automatically thinks, wow, there's no way he did that.
Yep.
On the up and up.
All the other guys posted him. He surely did too.
Exactly. You're automatically going to have scrutiny from something like that. And a lot of that too is going to come from some guys got pictures of him and he's going to be jealous.
Yeah, I was going to say jealousy just fuels it.
Yeah. There's very few cases I can think of where someone has killed a deer of that caliber and there not at least been rumors about them.
Oh, yeah.
Poaching it. Yeah. Now, I say that. I've not heard anybody say anything sideways about Richard's deer that he killed last year. Mm-hmm. But I think that speaks to Richard's character, and people know that he's been hunting for longer than most of them have been alive.
Yeah.
And he's never had anything, you know, questionable.
Mm-hmm.
And he finally, you know, after all those years, killed him a 200-inch deer.
Yeah.
So, that, like, that'd be an example of one that I don't remember hearing anybody say anything about the way he killed it or anything like that, mm-hmm. you know. But so many of them over the years that have been that big that get killed, whether they are killed illegally or not, there's at least been rumors about it.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of it is jealousy. But it's also guys like the public ones that go out and do it and then give everybody else a bad name. Hey, everybody. Thanks for listening to another episode of the Ridge Hunter Outdoors podcast. If you've made it to this point, hopefully you're enjoying the show. And if you are, go over to our Facebook page and our Instagram. Give us a follow. It's Ridge Hunter Outdoors. We also have a private Facebook group. That's Ridge Hunter Nation. You can go over there and answer a couple questions. And if you're a regular listener of the podcast or you watch any of our shows on YouTube or Carbon TV, you get in that group and just use it as your normal hunting group. Share your success, your failures, pictures, whatever you got. And we'll also give you some extra content in there. I'll ask questions on that, maybe do some surveys occasionally. And we'll also give you guys the opportunity to ask questions for any of our guests that we might have coming on, if we have them lined up in time and that's available. You'll find that at Ridge Hunter Nation. That's on Facebook. Our website is ridgehunteroutdoors.com. That's where you're going to see our scent line, Ridge Hunter Scents, our buck tarsal spray, doe tarsal spray, and our calming spray. All of our apparel is available on the website, and our food plot seed, when it is in stock, is available on the website too. If you want any of that stuff, make sure you use our discount code RHOPOD or FULLDRAW, all caps on either of those, no space, and you get 10% off your entire order. We also have our entire catalog of podcasts on the website, and our video series are available on there as well. If you're listening on Apple Podcasts or Spotify or any other audio platform, give us a like, follow, subscribe, whatever it lets you do, and that'll let you guys know when our episodes come out. They're not always as consistent as we want them to be, but we try to shoot for Monday and Friday. Sometimes it gets on a Tuesday or a Saturday maybe for an episode, and that way you'll know when they come out. It also really helps us without costing you anything. If you're listening to this on YouTube, hopefully you're already subscribed to the channel. If you're not, make sure you do that. If you're not listening to this on YouTube and you're not subscribed, make sure you go over there and do that at Ridge Hunter Outdoors, just like everything else. That's where you'll find our Fall Pursuit Show, Spring Strutting, all of our off-season vlogs will be on there, and much more. If you guys see a video or listening to a podcast on there and you're enjoying it, just drop us a comment. Hey, good show. Really enjoyed it. Something simple. Give the video a like. That really, really helps us out. And again, it doesn't take much of your time at all. You can also find Fall Pursuit on Carbon TV, and Spring Strutting will be on there this spring as well. So make sure you go over to Carbon TV. They have a lot of great shows to offer, and ours will be on there also. Thanks for listening, guys. We really appreciate you tuning in when you do. Now let's get back to the episode. So what's the plan for the... I know you're both on vacation. What's the plan for the next couple of weeks?
Kill as many big deer as possible.
That's four legally, two of you.
I mean, for everybody on the team.
Okay. Okay. So no. That's six, seven. Dusty's got one more. Dad, he may be about done hunting for now. So,
mm-hmm.
But
no.
I'd like to see a big deer first.
Yeah.
That'd be kind of cool.
Our goal and our standards are set very high. Our expectations and
extremely low.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. That's. I wanted to get back to that for just a second. You were talking about how you were in 21 or whatever it was, and how mm-hmm. you got all these bucks this year, and mm-hmm. like, I kind of feel a little bit that way with the one deer at the North Farm. I'd really like to put a tag on him more than I would a lot of other deer.
Mm-hmm.
And but then I've got the one that hasn't even shown back up yet, and it's like, I kind of feel dumb for waiting on him, but at the same time, I don't want to shoot a 130-inch deer and then have a 160-inch walk by and think, yeah, but what if he's the other one's still there? Because mm-hmm. he could be a 200-inch deer.
Yeah.
I mean, if he made it and he didn't go downhill, he's for sure 180s.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not saying I'd pass a 160-inch deer, but I'd feel a lot better about him being my first tag.
Wouldn't we all?
Yeah, you know. But that's a deer that's not even there yet. So it's probably stupid, and they'll probably look back on it at the end of the year. But I would, honestly, what I said the other day, I'd rather not shoot one.
Yeah.
I'd rather not fill a tag than fill both of them and have that deer show back up.
Yep.
And not be able to hunt him.
I don't know. Filling both tags sounds pretty awesome right now.
Yeah, I've never done it. I've never bucked out on two mature bucks in a season. So, mm-hmm. I mean, yeah, it'd be cool, but I would say if I kill the first one, I'm going to do a lot of filming and then wait a considerable amount of time to see if that dude shows back up before I really hit it hard again.
Yeah.
So I'm trying to hopefully the first one is a good one. There's enough of them over there where me and Dusty are hunting too that I should have a chance at one hopefully out there if nothing else.
Oh, yeah.
There's a bunch of nice deer on camera out there.
The game farm.
Yeah.
Yep. Back to his standing corn thing, I got the same problem there at the county line.
Yep.
Yeah, there's still a bunch of corn there too, right?
60 acres on one side and another 40-something on the other side.
Yep.
I don't know how many acres are up there at the North Farm, but there's still a bunch of standing corn up there, just catty-cornered. I mean, there may be one empty field between the properties,
mm-hmm.
and there's a bunch of standing corn there too. So this is something we talked about at the beginning of the season too. Like, we knew that was going to be a problem this mm-hmm. year. Just sooner or later, they got to be getting it out.
Yep.
We'll see. If this rain don't quit, it's going to be a while. But
if this rain, like, if I would have been able to hunt a week ago and 2 weeks ago, water would have been my focus, mm-hmm. I think. Like, just trying to get somewhere close to a creek where them things are going to get a drink. Because there wasn't no water, you know, for a mm-hmm. long time. You got the pond right across the fence up there where we were at this morning. And then what's there for water for them cows?
Water troughs.
There's water troughs, yeah. So, man, that pond there right east of you.
And the big lake on the south side.
Oh, yeah. They got all the water they could ever want there.
The northeast, there's a big lake. Two big lakes.
That's kind of like
over there.
It's kind of like the cabin. Even on those dry years, there's so many little ponds around there that
yeah.
if you're sitting over water, even if it's dry, like it's just... You're not guaranteed anything more than you would be any other time.
Mm-hmm.
But if, like up there at the North Farm, there's not as much, like, and like where you're at, there's not a ton of water around your home place there.
No.
So if you can find the water in a situation like that, but it's all situational.
Yeah.
But yeah, as dry as it was, that would have been a good place to be.
Yeah.
The guy that killed one last night, just for anybody listening that's trying to figure out where to go find him, he said he killed his... on some ground. I think he just started hunting maybe last year or this year. Took his climber into a ridge, found a bunch of fresh sign. He said it was tore up with scrapes and rubs and stuff, and picked a good tree and climbed that up on that ridge, and that deer came by at 20 yards or something.
What a deal.
Mm-hmm. So if you got, I mean, depending on what you got, if you can get in there and find the sign, especially those scrapes and stuff, I would think after this rain, too, a scrape might be a good place to be. For the next couple of days after
if they're not locked down.
After, mm-hmm. usually those scrapes will start going pretty cold here in the next few days.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
But you might have another couple of days to have some success on a scrape.
Yep.
Until end of the month, you know, then they'll start opening up again. But when enough does come in, they don't care about the scrapes as much.
Because
they know they just go from one to the other.
Yep.
But if there's no does in or not a bunch of them yet, they're still going to go check those and find out what's going on. So
mm-hmm.
you might have another couple of days to kill one on a scrape.
Yep.
And that's not to say you won't kill one on them on November 15th, but it's just not likely.
Yep.
I wouldn't be sitting over a scrape. I'd be on a saddle or a ridge or something, mm-hmm. or a funnel. Traditional rut spots.
The funnel days are just pretty much here.
Yeah, pretty much. I'd say if not now, then definitely by the end of this week, that's where you're going to want to be.
Thursday morning, I'm going to be in that one.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I did hunt it Saturday morning and had that
pretty
little 2-year-old come in.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, that's going to be a good place to be. I think even with that corn there, they're going to use that some.
Mm-hmm.
Even if they're going back and forth or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Or coming down out of that corn, going back off into that thick stuff. Could be a good place to be.
Mm-hmm.
Hopefully. Where are you guys going this evening? Back out
somewhere,
where you were?
Somewhere in that area where I was at this morning.
Yeah. Still going to be some kind of east wind, right?
Sadly.
Southeast?
Sadly.
Southeast, yeah.
So is that blind your only option?
No, I'm staying on the other side of the plot.
You can hunt with the same wind?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Blind has more options, but if it's going to be raining, I was going to be in that blind.
You got to take a...
If we go to the blind, a seat is going to be carried in.
If you go to the stand, you're going to have to hang one, like
yeah.
we did.
It's going to be a hard one to hang to.
I might sit in the blind and video him sitting in the stand.
There you go.
I'll give you
zoom in on him. He's shooting one behind him. Well, he's got one behind him somewhere. He's at full draw.
Oh, it's a spike. He got him. He nailed it. No, you know what's going to happen? It's going to be like that Axis deer I sent you video of earlier.
So this morning he sent me a text, and I had woke up. I was like, my gosh, I got to take a dump before we go. Uh-huh. So I'm sitting there playing on my phone, and he sends me a text. He's like, you up? I was like, yep. And he said, yeah, do you want to go? And I was like, yeah, I suppose. And I looked at the radar, and I was like, crap, it's getting ready to start raining for like hours. And then he sent me a video on Facebook, and I didn't look at it. We got in the blind later. He said, did you watch that video? I was like, no, I didn't. And he shows me this is like a monster axis deer. This guy's getting ready to shoot. And, like, out of nowhere, this little axis deer just runs right in front of that thing, right when that guy shot. And his arrow smokes this little axis deer, like, right at the base of the jaw, like, the very top of the neck. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And it just drops it. And the great big sucker runs away, and this other one's just sitting there, you know, doing...
Quivering.
Doing the spine shake. Uh-huh. I mean, he hammered it. Oh. It's like, how in the world do you explain that other than the video?
Yeah. If you didn't have video, no one would ever believe
no.
it.
No.
So, like, no
you know,
chance.
You know, there's like some big outfitter in Texas or something.
And oh, yeah.
The guy comes back and gets him, you know, it's like, where'd you get one? You know, and there's just... poor little axis deer laying there with a neck wound.
Yeah.
You know? And like, it was so funny. We just dying laughing watching that in the blind.
Yep. That's one of those, if you don't have it on video, no one's believing you. Yep.
Yeah, that would happen if I was like to shoot that big deer.
He wasn't even in the frame.
You know, no.
He wasn't even in the... He just comes running. Wham!
That's probably what'll happen. You'll be drawn back on that big 8-pointer and a spike will just come flying in from beside you.
We'll call him the bodyguard.
The body... Yeah. He's Secret Service.
4-pointer to the rescue.
Uh-huh. That's awesome.
Yeah, I hope to see that big 8-pointer tonight.
I mean...
That dude would look unbelievably big coming in.
Yeah.
Both of them would.
Oh, you can.
The 10-pointer would be just...
Yeah, but I mean, like, that 8 has that big...
The frame's just huge.
He's just walking in with his head bobbing.
Split G2 and a split G3. Yeah.
You can... Is it 3/4 of a mile from there to the north road? To that block on the north road?
No, because it's only a half square.
We're corner to corner, though.
Oh, yeah, probably.
So, I mean, it's almost 3/4 of a mile. I mean, there's an incredible amount of space that you can watch from that blind. So we're just going to sit there with binoculars and watch the deer all night, I assume.
That's what our hope was last night. Because we sat up there on the top and where we could see everything. And nah. But we didn't have the rain quitting like you guys got tonight. It was just hot and windy, so... I think you're going to have a good sit.
I hope. Hopefully, I hope so too. Successfully.
We need to have a better episode next week.
Yeah.
We ain't got much this week.
Yeah.
Especially if I don't find your hunt. But, I mean, it wasn't like... We didn't get a ton of great video of those bucks, but at least we saw at least one. I'm still not 100% convinced that other one wasn't another deer, but I'll have to look. I wanted to look at that on the computer for sure.
Mm-hmm.
So, hopefully, I'll be able to see it. But, anyway, you guys about have to get back north.
Yep. Got to go.
All right.
Drive safely.
Yep, and we got tree stands put together tonight for making changes.
Oh, would you go buy some?
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Gonna put them up there where that one's at?
Yep, making changes.
Making changes.
Yep.
Well, good luck with that. You're gonna put those up for that deer here before long?
Mm-hmm.
For, you can say you gotta have north or south wind, though.
Yeah.
Or can you put, is there any place you could put them for anything else?
There's all kinds of places I could go, but I want to focus on these, on those two.
Yep.
Those two.
All right, that'll do it. Thanks for listening, everybody. We'll catch you on the next one.